Wow, what a wonderful gospel. We have just heard this profound parable from the fourth act of the sixth act of our Lenten drama. In Lent's opening acts, we imagine scenes of Jesus' temptation in the desert, the first act, the second of his transfiguration on Mount Tabor. And then the third act of last week, we heard about Jesus' use of a fig tree to speak of potential not being realized. So today's Act 4, Luke's Lenten Gospel presents a parable, and a powerful parable it is, described by many scripture scholars as the greatest of all parables, the parable of the prodigal son, or the loving father, or the resentful older brother. This dramatic story has enchanted believers and unbelievers alike throughout the centuries. Drawn from the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, Luke offers his parable as the third of his lost and found stories. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. The second, the parable of the lost coin. And then this profound parable, often referred as the greatest of his. And it fits neatly into this lost and found triad. Now, it's very important to note that the very first verse of the three parables, the chapter cites the audience for all the three stories are meant. The sinners, the tax collectors, as well as the Pharisees and the scribes. In other words, both the in crowd and the out crowd of Jesus' times. Each in their own way were trying to seek and find something in Jesus' messages. So let us explore the significance of this third of Luke's lost and found parables. There are three scenes with three characters in the fourth act of our Lenten drama. You know them well, but let's look at the roles which the youngest son plays, the father, and the oldest son. Scene one of Act 4. There is the prodigal, who appears alienated from his father and brother. In so many words, he is lost. When we consider certain times of our lives, whether as an adolescent or as an adult, how easily might we identify this part of ourselves, feeling lost? When we feel lost as we reflect upon this seemingly lost soul who has squandered his father's fortune, the gifts and the legacy offered, we have a sense of maybe I'm like that at times. Incidentally, speaking of adolescents, right now, more than 100 of our teenagers are showing up after a full-day retreat in which they received love letters from their family, preparing them for confirmation. They're we celebrating, not with the fat calf, but they'll be downstairs in McKenna, recognize this powerful moment of their commitment. I should mention, in preparing this homily, I consider this character in light of the clergy scandal. I could not help but ponder the prodigal dynamics happening in the church today. How have certain priests and bishops squandered the trust of God and of the people of faith? Indeed, the thousands of years of the Catholic Church's witness and wealth of wisdom seems lost. And the church itself seems lost. And now we're engaged in a process seeking to find our way back of a new way, or perhaps to found a new way of being a community of faith. And so not only might we consider ourselves individually at times prodigal, but our church as prodigal, waiting to find and be found and to found something new. Scene 2 of Act 4 is the presentation of the Father. But before dwelling on the Father, I'd like to skip to the older brother of Act 4, Scene 3. For many, the character of the older son and brother was Jesus' way of challenging the Jewish listeners among him. Notice the arrogance, pride, and resentment in his lines as he replies to his father. This younger son of yours, notice he doesn't call him his brother. He comes in, you know, dad, this is your Alder's son. He's not my brother. How ways in which the older son, far the older son is from that powerful story that the listeners of Jesus would have known. When Joseph, in Egypt, having been sold in Egypt, greeted his brother Benjamin with a loving embrace, the scriptures say it's the same word. It's almost like he embraced him so much around the neck of love, embrace. The elder son and brother, rather than embrace, further distance himself, alienates himself not only from the younger son, but also the father, inviting us to ponder who really is the prodigal. The elder brother stayed home, but more and more he was distant. The younger brother was far away, but yet his father was close to his heart. What the older brother and son is displaying, what psychologists call deep resentment, or what others call entitlement. The older son resents his brother. He resents his father. He resents having to work like a slave and not receive the reward that is coming to him. Even though that the father says, now, all that I have is yours. Notice, beginning of the gospel, he divided equally. The son squandered it, the younger one. But now, the older one, he's saying, it's all yours. He doesn't get it. And so he feels entitled to it because he has, in his mind, stayed home, done the work, was obedient. In some ways, his reaction is understandable. Do we not at times react with a sense of entitlement and resenting others who squander? When we think about it, there is a lot of entitlement and resentment going around these days, whether in the clericalism of certain church leaders or among social and political leaders. So this character is certainly relevant for our times to consider. And of course, Jesus, in addressing the parable to the Pharisees and the scribes, was challenging the clericalism and the political power struggles of his times. Now let's get back to the Father, the second scene of this fourth act, where we may find consolation and hope. The Father, the welcoming by the Father, is unique throughout literature. This is one of the greatest stories of human beings. Here again the verses. While the son, he was still a long way off, the father is waiting. His father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. In those days, men with long gowns did not run. He would have been laughed at. Father doesn't care. He embraced him. The Greek word is, he fell on his neck and kissed him. What a powerful image any of you parents know when your child is lost. How the pain feels. You're looking, wondering, praying. And yes, the father has his fat calf, symbolizing he's waiting for many years for this to happen, symbolizing the hope that any parent has for the child to be found. Did his father fold his arms and put on an angry face? Not at all. He sets out running, and artists in a wide variety of venues have had us imagine this meeting. Think of Rembrandt. Think of Balanchine's ballet. Think of the concerts, the music, the movies. It's what we call a root metaphor of our human consciousness, this powerful reunion of parent and child. What a profound image. And this is the image that Jesus wants to convey to his audience of sinners, then and now, of a God who seeks us out and when finding, welcomes. But notice, the parable leaves open the question, does the elder son ever go to the party? The father wants him to, but we don't know. Maybe that's the question that's posed to us. Do we believe in a God who welcomes us? Or is there something inhibiting us to come to the party? Some years ago, I gave an 8-day retreat to a woman religious who was struggling with God, her image of God. You see, her identical twin also a nun in the same order, had recently been killed in a car accident. This tragedy was, of course, hurting, and she exhibited not only grief, but anger at God. How could a loving God take away her sister so suddenly? And so she prayed, but she was stuck. For several days, in her grief and her anger, it was going nowhere. And then she prayed over this gospel. And at times she imagined herself as the lost younger child, and then the angry and resentful older son. But then some spirit moved her, and she imagined that her twin sister was waiting for her at the party. Her father was bringing her there. And that's when the breakthrough happened. It was amazing to see her mood lifted. She was hoping despite her grief, through joy. And she came to the next retreat session filled with gratitude, a sense of hope, and yes, a joy. For despite her enormous loss, she had found God. Or God had found her. They met in her imagination with an embrace. And she remembered being dressed in a beautiful gown, and she described vividly what that gown was. Maybe that's what we are invited to do by Luke's lost and found parable. During this Lenten season, my sisters and brothers, individually we can ask, where am I lost and need to be found and to find? Certainly, collectively as a church, as we wait for the announcement of a new archbishop, we seem to be seeking and hopefully finding a new image of church, which will help us believe in a God who is accompanying us in this difficult time, who is there for us when we feel lost like the younger son, or angry and resentful like the older son, and believe in a God who is with us no matter what, and wants us to get a glimpse of the joyful party that awaits us. We are last found in our eternal home.